Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses worship service program this morning. We are so thankful you have decided to join us today. We are the Church of the Roses at 2500 Patio Court in Santa Rosa. We are the church that has the program that feeds the Montgomery High School students a free breakfast every morning when high school is in session. We support the Boys and Girls Club across the street on Hammond Drive. And we also sponsor a lot of different programs such as the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, the Council on Aging, a spiritual direction program. We have hearing aid support groups and many other activities that you can join us and become involved. We believe that the Church of the Roses is here to reach out with nurturing love to the whole community of Santa Rosa and beyond. So we hope that you will feel comfortable and welcome, not only listening to this service today, but also coming in person to our worship services on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. So God bless you, and we hope you enjoy this day.
I want to thank you all for this opportunity. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. It says, "But in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope is in you. But respond with gentleness and respect." Gracious God, we thank you for the word. We thank you for this opportunity. I pray that I sit down, you stand up. I pray that you move up and down every heart, every mind, every soul that is in this place. And at the end of the day, you be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So when she asked me to preach, I was honored, and here I am today, blessed and humble and praying for God to use me as an instrument. Pastor Cindy asked me to speak about a little about what I do and how my journey in ministry, and I just want to be real brief. I'm not going to be too long because I don't want the music to start. And I began my ministry in San Jose, California back in 1995 as a street evangelist. A group of us would drive to St. James Park in San Jose, and we would prepare meals for the homeless people. And this is before homeless was the way it is today. And we would get up at 6 a.m. and a group of us would go into the sanctuary, and we would pray from 6 to 7, and then we would prepare meals to go out and share with the homeless people. I was very young at this, really not really knowing how I was going to navigate through it. I went with a friend and fell in love with it. It just was a natural. And so I was asked to take over the ministry. And so there was a big podium here in St. James Park, and it was a concrete podium. I would stand up before it, and wherever I turned the Bible, that's where I would preach. And the Lord would always show up because he prepared us as we were praying and putting the lunches together and getting our hearts prepared for what we thought God would have for us to do. We all prayed together for an hour. During that time, God was preparing our spirits for the people we would encounter, and he knew what they needed and prepared us for that. We went under freeways and overpasses, and we went in remote areas and where people would drive by but not know that that's where people was living. And we would give essentials, we would give Bibles, we would give clothes, we would give jackets and food and whatever the need was at that time. That this time, this was the thing that kept ringing in my ear when I was doing this message, was Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, "I know the plans for your life, says the Lord, the plans to prosper you and not harm you, to give you hope and a future." And my message today is being prepared, but it's also talking about the hope of being prepared. God had a plan for me, and even when I didn't understand it, this is when I understood my calling for those who felt like they didn't fit in, who felt like they didn't fit in society, who felt like they were castaways, who society had given up on and thrown away, and that they all were the ones who had lost hope. And John Maxwell put it this way. He says, "Where there is no hope in the future, there is power in the present." It is those who were able to find hope for the future that had the strength and the empowerment to succeed in the present. God gave me a heart for lost souls, and so I called this ministry the Heart. The Heart for the Harvest Ministry. It was a ministry that we did street ministry, but we also went to two convalescent hospitals and we ministered there as well. So it was in 1995 that I was introduced to the prison ministry in San Quentin. I started playing basketball against the inmates. And of course, at halftime, we would meet in the middle of the court and we would have a mini sermon, and then we'll go back and resume back into playing basketball. Now, it was in San Quentin that I met these young men who looked like me, grew up in the same places that I grew up. But made some mistakes. And in this mistakes that they made, it cost them their freedom, and they spent the rest of their lives behind bars for one mistake, for one bad decision. I didn't quite realize that God was preparing me for a lifelong ministry that would be so impactful to hundreds, if not thousands, of young men. And I was just moving along on a path that seemed like what I should do. In 1999, I was licensed as a minister. But in 2007, when I started our organization, Man to Man, this is where my true mission started to become clear. I mentored a basketball team at Ohlone College in Fremont, California, and helped them to graduate. And that was the goal, because they were failing and needed guidance in life skills more than academic tutoring. And so at this time, I was working with them, And this is when I start seeing the transparency of being very vulnerable with these guys and seeing that I had a gift to speak to young men. And so I begin to pour in these young men. And after that, I begin to take this ministry to Allen Temple Baptist Church, which is the church that I grew up in Oakland. And then in 2016, Man to Man became a nonprofit, a 501c3. After doing various ministries for over 18 years, I enrolled in San Francisco Theological Seminary. So I did it a little backwards. I didn't go straight to seminary. I did ministry and then went to seminary. I enrolled in San Francisco Theological Seminary to earn a master's degree in theological studies, and then I was ordained at Allen Temple. After that, being ordained, I pursued my doctorate in executive leadership. Now, I have completed my coursework. I have turned in my dissertation. Just need you to pray for me. That is, will be approved. But all the coursework is done. All the pain is done. I'm just waiting to cross over. So Man to Man is a program to help men navigate through the struggles and the pitfalls of life that many men of color deal with. And we specialize in a thing called fatherhood, being actively engaged, present, and consistent in the children's lives, in prison as well as out. One of the things that I realized working with, first writing my thesis on disadvantaged young men in urban communities, I focused on East Oakland because that's where I'm from. Went back to the 1930s because I'm trying to figure out when I graduated, well, when I was in elementary school, it was a really thriving community. It had factories, it had military bases, it had car manufacturers. But then when I was in high school, it was the murder capital. And I'm trying to figure out how did it go from a thriving community to the murder capital. So I'm thinking that it's the youth that's the problem, not really understanding what the root cause was. And so as I was doing this thesis, I was finding that it was not the youth that was the problem. When we talked about poverty, we talked about high school dropouts, we talked about incarceration, we talked about teenage pregnancies, and we talked about mental health issues and public safety issues and public health issues. The root cause of this problem was absent fathers. And I felt like if we can deal with this, that is the cause of more than 90% of our social ills, then we could deal with the problems that we're dealing in within our communities. And so that's how we focused on this thing called fatherhood. So we worked with these fathers in areas like communication, co-parenting, conflict management, emotion management, mental health issues, and the list goes on. It's rewarding work, and I'm so pleased that God has chosen me for this mission. But this is not a job that gets gratification. This is not a job that gets lots of money. This is not a job that, you know, you get a lot of accolades and, you know, because it's the work that is behind the scenes. There's a lot of times you might be working with people one-on-one, but it's beneficial when you see a life that is changed. Now, I try to model, and this is something that we were praying, and Cindy didn't understand what I was thinking at the time that she said it, but she said that when we pray, we want when we, you know, come and do ministry, we really want to do what Jesus wants us to do. And I try to model my ministry after Jesus. The Bible reminds us that Jesus' ministry was not confined within the four walls of a building, but in the highways and the byways where numerous crowds of people were looking for change. They were looking for something more than what they can get. And Jesus used the disciples that was ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Are you hearing me? This is not a calling that many people gravitate, as I said. It's not sure that you get a lot of recognition. Even it reminds me of Luke 10, 2, when Jesus was talking to the disciples and he was explaining to them that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And he said to pray to God for those labors. And that's where we are when it comes to this kind of work. We're praying for the laborers. And I'm sure Cindy knows about this because I'm sure she needs people in. And that it's more work than people. But after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them two by two. This is the kind of the way that we used to do our street ministry. We would go out in two by twos, and we would, you know, be in pairs. But the thing that got me in verse 3, he says, go, I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. And that's how it felt sometimes when we go into San Quentin. It's like a lamb and a lot of angry and frustrated people that had some bad cards dealt in their life, but not able to navigate or deal with those circumstances that they deal with. And that's what it feels like when I deal with the young men in Oakland. And that's the reason why we started. She said, I have a podcast called Can We Have a Conversation? And what it does is it opens up the dialogue, it opens up the conversation that people can be able to talk about what they feel. Because I feel like the Lord told me that if you can get them to express how they feel, then they won't have such violence, because they will be able to, you know, get it off of them rather than deal with it in violent ways. So today is the first Sunday of Advent. It speaks about hope and preparation. And I want to talk about hope for a minute. Hope is defined as a feeling, desire, or wish for something to happen. It has an element of trust. Hope is uncertain by the world's definition, but the Bible defines hope differently. Biblical hope is forward-looking faith. It's a confident belief based not on things experienced, but on what word of God that the future he says will happen. God is a future certainty that gives you joy, peace, and patience in the present. The ancient Greek word for hope is elpo. The meaning of elpo is anticipated or welcome, the expectation of what is certain. It is used in more than 53 times, and Thayer's Greek lexicon says that in which one confides or to which he flees for refuge. In other words, it is what you turn to for comfort and long life struggles. And we all have some point of struggle in our life, amen? Challenges, but during this struggle produces hope. The Apostle Paul found hope in the truth. He said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. He noticed that he doesn't compare himself to others. He doesn't say, I'm suffering, but the guy has it worse or better. Rather, he compares his suffering to future hope. Actually, he's saying the hope is so much bigger and better than his current suffering that it is not even worth comparing them. There are times in life when we need hope, and it comes by faith and believing in the things not seen. And Hebrews 11:1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope, Romans 15:13. So the church has this Christianized that practice in the lighting of the Advent wreath. To us, these candles are signs of growing in the light of Christ who is coming again, in all fullness into the darkness of our world, until the dawning of the great day. We watch and wait in the Holy Spirit for Christ coming in the darkness of our world, lighting candles of hope, peace, joy, and love, and remembering the promises of God with prayer. This is what Man and Man is all about, preparing San Quentin inmates for returning into society. This preparation can be passive or it can be active, depending on the individual. It can be passive if they don't take what is given and doesn't think it's beneficial for them, but it can be active if they can take these tools, utilize them, get out, and become better citizens. They could easily say to themselves that I'm never going to get out, and if I do get out, that time I would deal with the issues, I'll face with it then. Or we teach fathers how to have relationships while they're in prison. They don't have to wait until they get out, but they can start establishing relationships while incarcerated. How to effectively communicate with the mother of their children, whether they have a relationship with her or not.
learning what it means to be a man and the true definition of manhood. How to make decisions even when you're overstressed and underemployed. Think before acting, how to de-escalate a problem rather than resorting to violence. See, these are tools that these guys are not used to having. One, they didn't have fathers, and two, it's always in a survival mode, always trying to do or get rather than learn the fundamental tools of manhood. And if you didn't have a man, then you take on the form of the man that they tell you you are. And the identity is missing because the father is not there, so then they take on that identity that people tell them who they are because they don't know who they are. Am I making sense? Think before acting. We help these men with housing skills, carpentry, electrical, plumbing, clean energy. We give them this apprenticeship. We also help them to get housing. We do everything we can so they don't have to go back to prison. We also teach these men how to be responsible and dependable and how to follow instructions. And that may seem very simplistic to you, but if a person has never had a job or he's never had to follow instructions, this is like instruction 101. And so we have to really actually take them and renew their mind and so that they can be productive in society. What is coming in fullness in the darkness of our world and remembering the promise of God with prayer. Remember, that's what it was saying earlier. So Church of the Roses, today is the first day of Advent Sunday, right? Yeah. And Advent means coming or arrival. During the season of Advent, we celebrate Christ coming into the world and we watch the expected hope of his coming again. These 4 weeks of Advent present and an opportunity for communal discernment and personal examination as a church prepares to celebrate the nativity of the Lord and looks with the hope of Christ's return. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Presbyterian Church of the Roses morning worship service today. We hope and pray that this service has brought a sense of God's love, peace, and joy to your heart. And we pray that if you need healing in body, mind, and spirit in any way, that God will provide that for you. You are welcome to come in person to our church at 2500 Patio Court in Santa Rosa. But we are grateful that you joined us today through the radio too. So God bless and keep you, and know that God loves you more than you can hope for or imagine. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and forevermore. Amen.